Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's fourth quarter 2015 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Good morning and welcome everyone to this conference call for the fourth quarter results of 2015. As usual, in page number 3, we have the agenda for the call of today. We will have a financial review of the results of the fourth quarter, and then we will get a little bit deeper into reviewing each business segment. We will end up with the fourth quarter and subsequent events and a round of Q&A. If we start with page number 4, we can see that the revenue for the fourth quarter went down 6.2% to $1.2 billion, and comparing all year fiscal 2015, it was a reduction of 3.7% to a total of $5.146 billion. Or adjusted EBITDA, it was $290 million, that is a reduction of 10.9% compared to the third quarter, but a slight increase of 0.8% comparing year over the full year 2015. At $1.282 billion. Net income stood more or less the same, at about $90 million quarter over quarter, and with a reduction of 16% compared with the whole year 2015 to the whole year 2014. Financial debt at the end of the year was $3.8 billion, which is a slight increase over the quarter and a 7.3% compared a year ago. And finally, our net financial debt to last 12 month adjusted EBITDA ended the year with 3 times for the quarter and also 3 times for the full year, which is a reduction from the 3.2 times that we had at the end of 2014. If we go to page number 5, we can see more detail on the income statement, and we can see there that the decrease of 6.2% quarter over quarter was basically explained by lower sales volume and average prices from pulp, panels, and some timber. In terms of cost of sales went down 5.3%, but that is mainly explained by the decrease in sales volume, especially in panels and some timber business. The other lines that are worth mentioning are the line of exchange rate differences that went down from $22 million negative to $13.3 million negative, and that is explained basically by the depreciation of the Argentinian peso, almost 40% quarter over quarter, which affected our cash position and receivables held in local currency. In the third quarter, we saw basically the effect of the depreciation of the Brazilian real that affected in a much bigger sense the results of the quarter. So net income finally was $89.1 million, which is a little bit higher than the net income of the third quarter. In terms of sales by business segment, you can see there that our pulp division got 47.2% of sales and the panel division 35.6%, and the rest is some timber with 14.3% and some forestry and other sales during the quarter. Now, if we move to page 6, we can see a detail of the EBITDA calculation, of the adjusted EBITDA, and we can see the reduction of 10% quarter over quarter, which is basically explained by operational results due to lower sales volume and lower prices that we saw during the quarter, and we will explain later on. In terms of total EBITDA, year over year, we can see there the slight increase from $1.272 $1 billion to $1.282 billion. The fourth quarter adjusted EBITDA was basically affected by the result of lower sales of pulp. If we go to page number 7, we can review our financial debt. And here it's worth mentioning that our financial debt year over year dropped $733 million, the gross debt. And that was basically explained by our free cash flow and the payment of the bonds that were due in during the year, $350 million, and also $150 million of a North American debt that we prepaid before maturity. Most of the amortization were financed with cash, as I said before, and our cash position at the end of the quarter was very similar to the one that we had at the end of September, about $500 million. Our net debt went up a little bit to $3.8 billion, and that explained a little bit of increase in our leverage from 2.9 times on the third quarter to 3 times at the end of this quarter. This explanation is a little bit more of net debt and also lower EBITDA in the last 12 months. If we look at the maturity profile and look at the maturities that are due in 2016, we can see that from the $257 million that are due in bank debt, most of it are maturities from Montes del Plata, about $160 million, which represent our half of the maturities that they have to pay during the year, and the rest is some maturities in Brazil. And in the bond amortizations shown there are basically interest, since we don't have any bond amortizations this year. Next year, 2017, we had two bonds maturing, one in Alto Paraná for $270 million, and another one issued from Chile, $125 million. The rest is basically the same amortization that we have seen last quarters. If we go to page 8 and look at the cash flow, we can see that during the quarter we had a slight negative cash flow, and that is explained basically by lower collection of accounts receivables, that we can see there in the first line, and also because that we had dividends paid during the quarter, $44 million, which are the dividends, the advance payment of the 2015 dividends that we do every year in December. If we look at the year-over-year, full year 2015, you can see the dividends were basically the same, $141 million in 14 and $143 million on 2015. Capital expenditures also went down. You can see there, in a total year, from $612 million in fiscal year 2014 to $470 million during the full year 2015. And the explanation is basically the ending of the big projects that we had of Montes del Plata and no big capital expenditures during fiscal year 2015. Also, you can see in the quarter a reduction from $100 million in third quarter to $83.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2015. The rest we are showing the repayment of borrowings and some slight increase in proceeds from borrowing. If we go now to page 10, we can start looking at the review by business segment, starting from the pulp division. And we can see there that our sales went down from $588 million to $570. That is a 3% reduction, which is explained basically by a reduction in pulp prices during the quarter of 6%, average prices. Volume went up 3.2%, basically explained by higher pulp production during the quarter, which was around 900,000 tons during the quarter, especially because of higher production from the Montes del Plata pulp mill, offset a little bit by some annual maintenance done in the Valdivia and Nueva Aldea pulp mill. If we look a year over year, net sales are down 8.5%, and that here we have a reduction of price of 5.6% and also a reduction in volume of 2%, which is explained by lower production, higher production, sorry, in the fourth quarter of 2014. During this quarter, we experienced drop in prices due to changes in demand and supply, and long and short fiber prices fell gradually through the quarter. We had the effect of the devaluation of the yuan, which was a factor, especially for traders that were importing and into China. And we saw also some negative price adjustments in the European market, although more moderate than in Asia. Both fibers decreased. And in the Middle East, the markets remain active and buyers benefit from Europe oversupply. In terms of net prices, short fiber went back to being below long fiber prices. So we can see now that that the long fiber prices is back to have a positive spread over the short fiber. And that is explained basically by a reduction in short fiber prices. If we see in page 11, and now the outlook after the end of the quarter, what we're seeing right now, we are seeing that the softwood pulp prices are showing signs of stability, especially in China. We have seen the bottom of the prices, and we think that there's more stability and some price announcement for increases in prices for March. Demand from Europe is picking up, and Chinese demand, although it's less active, is growing. The hardwood prices, they continue challenging the short term, especially because there is some more supply coming in, and also especially because of the new starts of projects like Puma project from Clarín that started recently, and it will be putting more volume into the market in the coming months. Inventories are stable with respect to last quarter. You can see there that it was a slight decrease in one day of inventories in softwood and a one-day increase in hardwood. Spread between NBSK and BHKP, it was $49 on a list prices, but if we look at net prices, that difference is more close to $70 or $80, which is close to the historical average. Now, moving to panels. Here we are seeing also reduction in sales quarter over quarter and year over year. We can see that sales went down 7.1%, and that is a mix of price reduction of 3% and volume. And if you compare 1 year ago, it's a 12% decrease, but it's basically a price reduction scenario. And we have seen the same things that we saw in the third quarter, this panels revenue decreasing, basically for lower prices from countries with depreciated currencies. The only exceptions probably are the markets in North America, especially which is particleboard sales, which we have been able to increase our pricing due to selling more value-added products. But the MDF market is less active, and here we have seen more competition from importers because it's a higher value-added product. And there's some supply coming from Canada, especially Brazil, which is challenged because of oversupply, lower local demand, and also because of the depreciation of the real. They are able to compete in the export markets, and we have seen some export coming from Brazil. And also we have done some of that in order to keep the factories producing at full capacity. What we are seeing for the outlook in page 13, situation is basically continuing. We are seeing also MDF with imports from Canadian and Brazilian players. As we enter spring in the Northern Hemisphere, we should see a seasonal increase in demand as construction picks up. But we are seeing good demand for particleboard, especially non-melamine value-added products. In Chile, we had a good start of 2016 with an increase in sales of particleboard and value-added products from our Teno mill. And we've seen some recovery in prices of plywood, which fell last year as a result also of more competition from other Chilean producers and Brazilian players, especially into the Mexican and the North American market. In Brazil, things are not recovering yet, and we expect that it will take some time because the market is oversupplied and the demand is not helping either. So we expect things to continue in the coming month. In Argentina, we continue to focus our sales efforts in the domestic market. The depreciation is not enough yet to be able to be competitive in the exporting market, and so we continue to sell basically in the domestic market in Argentina. Now, in Sun Timber, we see a similar situation of in the panel business, a little bit worse, I think, in terms of percentage. Quarter over quarter, we saw almost a 16% decrease in sales, which is explained by a 10% decrease in volume and a 5.2% decrease in pricing. Year over year, the situation is worse. It's a 23% decrease. And here, the explanation is similar. Basically, demand is there, but we are seeing a lot of competition from exporting markets of other countries that have had a depreciation that sometimes are much bigger than the depreciation of the Chilean peso. So it's a thing of finding the right markets and getting volumes moving, but we have seen a decrease in sales volume and also pricing. The only positive thing here is the North American market, as usual, as we're seeing more construction picking up. And Latin America is a little bit more stable, but the exporting markets, especially the Asian markets, are much more competitive. If we look at page 15, we can see how the construction in North America is slowly picking up, and we saw in the February housing start, and the index went up 5.2% to 1.178 million units per year, and that means that the North American market is active in terms of new construction and home remodeling, so that has favored the sales of our solid wood moldings. In the first month of 2016, demand in the rest of the world has stabilized, and we've seen prices with sign of recovery. So we think that probably we have hit a bottom in terms of some timber sales, pricing, and volume. Chile, Argentina, and the rest of Latin America have continued with the price momentum, and so we think that we can continue there, increasing our market share and achieving our target sales product mix plans. Now, if we talk a little bit about the fourth quarter and subsequent events, we have two things to announce here. First is that in November we signed an agreement to enter into a joint venture with Sona Industria in a company in Europe called Tafisa. So the idea is to get 50% of the shares of Tafisa. Tafisa will be renamed Sona Arauco, and then we will have access to the 10 panel board mills that they have in Spain, Portugal, Germany, and South Africa, that with a total production capacity of 4.2 million cubic meters. After the closing of this agreement, which is subject to conditions precedent, we will be number two in the world in production of composite panels with an approximate capacity of 9 million cubic meters. Now we have about 6.6 million cubic meters of capacity. As I said, the closing is subject to conditions precedent, especially antitrust approvals, which we don't expect to have any problems since we don't sell a lot of panels actually into Europe, and some refinancing and some changes in organization of some of the companies in Europe. And finally, in page 18, we did a merge of some companies in Chile. We merged the companies called Aserraderos Arauco, Arauco Distribución, and Paneles Arauco into one single entity, legal entity in Chile, and we concentrate there all the sawn timber and panel production of our business in Chile. The remaining legal continuer is Paneles Arauco, and of course this merge enabled us to streamline our processes, save some cost, and provide a better service to our clients and suppliers. So that is all I have in the presentation of results. I would like now to open it for some questions for the audience. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. The first question comes from Hernan Kislik of MetLife. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I was wondering what you said regarding the pulp demand in China and the declining prices that we've seen that during the first quarter of this year, it has been even steeper. So I would like to have your views there regarding what is driving prices down. I've heard many different theories ranging from currency depreciation in Brazil, Russia, and even in China, and also the Chinese pushing prices down as they see that margins elsewhere in the world are very high. So I would like to hear your comments on that.
Okay, yes. Yes, the price has been going down, especially in short fiber. I mean, long fiber has been very stable. It went down during the fourth quarter a little bit, but in the first quarter it has stayed quite stable at levels around 580 and even announcing some price increases for March for $600. The thing is that short fiber has gone down, and the main explanation, in my view, is there's some extra supply coming into the market. This new mill in Puma Klabin, we also saw that the Guaiva mill is starting during the year, and that with a sentiment of less growth in China plus some depreciation, it has enabled Chinese buyers to push for lower pricing, and that is affecting this first quarter of 2016 in short fiber prices. But in summary, I think that most of it is this new mill ramping up this month, adding probably a little bit more than 1 million tons during the year of hardwood into the market. And also another effect is the depreciation of real in Brazil, especially is helping the Brazilians to have lower cash costs, and so they are able to compete even at lower prices and to push volume into the market. So I think it's going to be difficult, at least first semester, because there's a lot of pressure for pulp prices to go down in short fiber. But at some point, it will start hitting the higher cost producers and the inefficient mills in China, which will start closing down, and that probably will put a floor on pricing in short fiber during the year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please hold again while we pull for questions. There are no other questions at this time. This concludes the question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for attending this call. Our plan is to release the first quarter numbers probably during the middle of May. So at that time, we will announce a new conference call. In the meantime, if there are any questions regarding this call or our results, don't hesitate to contact our investor relations team by email or calling to our offices. So thank you all again, and meet you back in May. Bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.